Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Cindy's Birthday Party, the hip-hop podcast that looks at hip-hop, at rap music and hip-hop culture from a historical and a philosophical perspective. My name is Danny. I'm one of your co-hosts, and my other co-host is here with me. That's Big E.
Hey, what's happening, y'all? Big E in the place.
And our third co-host that is normally with us, Zay, is not here today, so we just want to give a shout-out to Zay because we know he'll be listening.
Big shout-out, Zay. Feel better, brother.
No doubt. And I just want to say to all of those of you who are listening, just want you to understand the sacrifice that we are making, because we're actually in here on a Sunday afternoon when we really should be following our fantasy football leagues.
I could be watching the Falcons play, man, and lose right now.
Right, yes, watch because we were able to check scores and see that the Colts are putting it on them right now. That might change. But that's how dedicated we are to the game, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in here recording this now. Exactly. During football season.
Sacrificing football. It yes. Ain't even church.
Right, right. That's how it used to be when I was a kid.
Yeah. Right. Like, man, can we go home, please?
Right, right, right. It's time to go. Right. I can't believe they want to get out of church at 1:15. They right. Know 1 o'clock is kickoff.
Somebody talk about, had to cross, right. Had to cross, where I first saw.
And some lady always got a fall out shouting right at 12:55. Right. Like, hey,
can we go,
we need
please.
To get up out of here.
Yeah, man.
You know, and then my mom, God bless her, you know, I love my mom more than anything, but she would always have to shake everybody's hand before we leave. And I'm like, look, you'll see them people again next Sunday. Let's right. Go.
They need to do like a running high five down one of the right. Aisles with everybody and just like, yes. All right, we out.
Right, right, exactly. But anyway, getting back to the subject at hand here. In our last segment, we were talking about new music and stuff that's out now that we like, and various artists that we like and stuff that we listen to and why we like the music or whatever, and producers that were involved, et cetera. And so in this segment, what we want to really discuss, I think, is why we discussed what we did in the last segment. Mm. And a lot of that is due to the fact that, excuse me, Eric and I and Zay, we're all guys in our 40s. Who've been around listening to rap music since it came on the scene.
I know we mentioned that before, but yeah, listen to him say it again.
Yes, we're going to always say that, because that's very important, because that really helps you to understand our perspective and why we mm-hmm. come from where we come from.
Indeed.
And so a lot of times, because we have been around since the beginning, we often talk about, especially on this podcast, because that's what it's all about, we talk about the historical perspective. What was going on in the 80s, what was going on in the 90s, for right. example. And sometimes we don't discuss a lot of what is happening now that we like. We talk about stuff that we don't like all the time, right?
So, exactly.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. But we wanted to also discuss what we like, because we feel that rap music, and from a fan's perspective, is in a it's not in a unique situation. But it's in a situation that it's not unique in terms of music and popular culture in America, but it's different and it's new for rap, because we now have a generation of people who grew up listening to rap music whom the genre no longer really caters to.
Yeah.
And so, there, you know, when it comes to advertising and marketing, they always say there's the 18 to 34 demographic, right? And then there's the 35 to 55 demographic.
Right.
And when it comes to television in particular, they really focus on those as being markets. Music, they do to a certain extent, but not necessarily when it comes to rap music. So you'll see a lot of marketing and advertising done towards our generation, but it's usually a celebration of old school.
Right.
Which is great. I mean, we love old school, you know,
Yeah, but it kind of has a feel of putting people out to pasture, and it's always on like some garbage award show on BET. Yeah, hey, let's do a dedication to Biggie Smalls and have Lil Yachty come up there and do something.
And butcher the lyrics.
Right, butcher the lyrics. So I don't consider that, you know, a good representation of us, of us older people.
Right.
Yeah, you kind of. Yeah, shout out to the old people, and then
Yeah, and you know, the issue I have with it, I love to look at retrospectives, and I love history, of all kind.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast in the first place. However, the thing that they're missing out on is we don't only love old music,
right?
The reason why the radio stations are popping up now that play, or the thing that I think they're missing is that they think that all we want to do is reminisce and listen to hip hop from the 80s or the 90s. Mm-hmm. We love all of that stuff, but we love new music too. But there needs to be new music that is catered towards us.
Right. It's got to have some quality to it.
Right. And I think that the over 35 market is severely underserved,
mm-hmm,
where that is concerned.
Right.
There's not a lot of, and people will always tell you, well, there's all sorts of good music on the internet. You just have to go and find it. Well, that is true to a certain extent, but.
Ain't nobody got time for all of that, really.
That's kind of what I'm getting to here.
Who am I looking for, you know?
Right.
I get any kind of new music I usually get, I get from my son. He's 23 years old, and he's, mm-hmm, kind of one of these new school type dudes. And he puts me on the stuff, and I either give my thumbs up or thumbs down to it. And he looks at me as being like one of the dudes with the Muppets, the old dudes that are up in the balcony just frowning right. and hating on everything,
heckling everybody.
Right, but there's a lot of good music out there. I'm not going to take the time to really like go on the internet and find it. He's my source. So,
right.
Yeah. You know.
And that's the thing. You know, the over 35 crowd, you have the discretionary income to purchase music often. But you don't necessarily have the time to go and really search for it the way you would want to.
Right.
Because you've got other things. You got mortgages and kids and work and careers and businesses and everything else that may be involved.
Correct.
And so you may not have the time to sift through, you know, 1,000 garbage tracks on SoundCloud or on anywhere on the internet,
right,
on social media. Looking for a certain type of art just to find that one diamond in the rough. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the point is, just as there are forces and there are entities that market specifically towards the younger demographic that present them with music on the radio, on social media, that really go at it hard, there needs to be – that also needs to exist for that 35 to 55 demographic.
Yes.
Now, there's music, like some of the music we talked about in the last segment, Little Brother, in particular, the Sky Zoo and Pete Rock joint that we were talking about, MERS and Ninth Wonder. This is music that I would argue is really directed towards that older demographic,
mm-hmm,
that original hip-hop generation, so to speak. And I don't know if those artists would necessarily, because artists hate to be pigeonholed into, oh, well, I'm making, you know, this type of music, that, whatever. But I really think that that's where their niche market is, though.
Right.
Because they're not making the trap stuff. They're really making more boom bap. It's more sample oriented. That's the kind of thing that we tend to appreciate more.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely, like I say, the lyrics. I am one who. I appreciate, of course, tight production, tight beat making, et cetera, but lyrically, it does help that, and you can be young, old, whatever the case may be, as long as you are, like, saying something and
right,
putting together some cleverness in your rhymes, then I'll listen to you. I have no problem listening to, you know, to any of the younger artists nowadays, and you know, as long
right
as they kind of doing that, because it's just some stuff, it's like, this is just mindless dribble, you know.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest misnomer about our generation is that we don't want to hear anything new.
No.
Yeah. We do want to hear new music.
Right. Yeah.
We just want to hear new music that is catered more towards our style and
exactly.
our liking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not going to probably be on board with a lot of the trap stuff or some of the artists that's out there. Now, and I keep using the trap as an example, and that's maybe not the only example because everybody who's big now is not a trap artist.
Right.
I want to make that clear. But a lot of the stuff that's out now, we may not be – it may not be our cup of tea. But like we talked about in the last segment, there are – artists that make music that we like that caters more to our style of like our liking or our style of music that we enjoy
mm-hmm.
but many of them don't get that same level of marketing. Like there's nobody out there that's really trying to push them. I always use the example of Tom Joyner, the Tom Joyner Morning Show. I can remember back in the 90s when I was a young man in my 20s, and Tom Joyner Morning Show was on, and it was a big hit then, just as it has been for a very long time. But Tom Joyner never tried to cater to me at that time.
Right.
The 20-something-year-olds that were listening to the Wu-Tang Clan or listening to Snoop Dogg.
Nah.
Or, you know, like that. That didn't matter to him.
Mm-mm.
Tom Joyner at that time was a guy that was, I guess, in his 40s or whatever. It's probably around the age I am now. And everything about his show, the music, was for people of his age group and his demographic.
On Shirley and them.
Right, you know, and they played a lot of old school, a lot of 70s funk, that kind of thing.
Right.
But they also played a lot of new artists and new songs, but those new songs were not necessarily what was being played over on the other radio stations that did cater to the youth.
Right.
Because he realized it was still a market. You know, if you look at in R&B, you look at an artist like Kim, for example.
Mm.
Right? Kim is a guy who's had a lot of success. You look at an Anthony Hamilton,
yeah.
Like there, even though Anthony Hamilton's been on all charts, because that will happen with good music. But Kim, and I used him specifically as an example because his whole thing has always been the adult contemporary, or as
right.
I say, urban contemporary charts or crowd, which is basically just a very scientific way of saying grown folks' music,
right?
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, not going to appeal to the younger crowd that much. Some of them are smart enough and wise enough to kind of go with the flow and understand where that sound is and what it's for, and that's fine. But, yeah, like you say, adult contemporary, just
right.
grown folks.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when they say urban contemporary, yeah. they mean grown black folks.
Right.
Because that's what they call it, you know.
Yeah. Urban contemporary.
But
yeah.
the greater point is that there was a market for it.
Right.
Tom Joyner was able to see that and seize upon that. And it was a big thing.
Yeah.
Because people responded all over the country.
Yeah.
Because what he realized is just because people have gotten to a certain age, it doesn't mean that they don't still like new music. They just like a certain type of new music.
Right. Certain type of music.
And then there became a lot of artists. Look at Charlie Wilson from the Gap Band, for example, whose whole second career is built on appealing to that urban contemporary crowd.
Yes, yeah, because I was laughing about him with a girl a couple of days back. Like, Charlie Wilson's still out here making music.
Yeah, you know? Yes.
Like, and he's appealed, like you say, he has an appeal to not only us older people, people even older than us, 50-year-olds, you know, in 60-year-olds.
My parents love Charlie
exactly,
Wilson.
Charlie Wilson, right. But he still can manage to get, you know, those 30-somethings out to his shows because
right.
he has sort of transcended just being that old guy from the Gap Band, and he's, you know, a singer who appeals across the board. So
right. And, you know, and you will go to Charlie Wilson concert, and you'll see – you know, younger cats, and then you're going to also see the dude with the leisure suit and the matching hat and
yeah.
Stacey Adams on,
right.
too. You know, because he does have a broad appeal.
Very.
And there are other artists like that, but the point is, it has become a niche that's very viable, very financially viable, and people can really, it thrives.
Yeah.
You know, because they realize that just because you're not 25 anymore, like our young intern Corbin.
Time Macy on the house.
that you can still like music.
Right.
So my whole point is, where is that person or that entity or that organization that realizes that about the hip-hop generation that is now in its late 30s, 40s, even into its mid-50s? That, I think, because our music, our culture has always been, for whatever reason, viewed as one that is only for kids.
Right.
It is people just make an assumption that after you turn 25 that you stop loving rap music. And that's far from the truth.
Right.
So what actually ends up happening, I think, a lot of times is that we end up, our generation, we end up focusing on old school stuff because nobody's really presenting us with the type of new music that we like. And so corporations, radio stations, they'll pop up with these old school stations. They come from everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's cool because we all love the old school too. But they don't realize that that people really do still want to hear new music.
Right, right. I find myself a lot of times thinking in the same manner. I'm listening to stuff in my vehicle and traveling wherever, and it turns into me just listening to old stuff that I've listened to time in and time again, countless times over and over and over again, and I'm hungering for new music. But like you're saying, Danny, there's nothing really out there that particularly appeals to me. I shouldn't say nothing. Let me take that back because we were discussing that earlier in the first segment.
Mm-hmm.
But on the whole, yeah, it gets difficult to, you know, to sit and wait on something new to come out. So you find yourself going back to the tried and true and, you know, just sticking with the old stuff. So
right. And because, you know, some of the stuff, like some of the albums we discussed in the first segment, people may not have heard, people who are listening to this may not have heard of any of this stuff.
Yep.
And it's out there, and it's great music. And that's one of the things I hope that, you know, we could put some of the stuff out there and somebody will go and listen to some of this stuff.
Exactly.
And they can realize that there is good stuff still out there.
Yes,
and, you know, you don't always have to be, it doesn't always have to be, going, hearkening back to the past or whatever.
Right.
And listening to what came out in 95.
Yeah, because I want to be down, so to speak. I want to.
Now
you know,
you sounded like an old dude.
But I mean, yeah, true.
I would like to be down.
I would like to be down as well. You know, I would like to get into this new music and
I'd like
this
to
new
finger
stuff.
Pop every now and
right,
then.
Right. You know. Well, what I mean, like, is I want to kind of be up to date with music more than just being stuck listening to like LL Cool J Rock the Bells all the time.
Right.
You know. I want to be informed about new music, but like you say, can it please appeal to my ear? I don't want to turn to like, you know, local radio stations down here and here. You know.
Hit it, hit it.
Right, yeah. Hit it, but it.
Yeah.
No offense to our young Corbin in here. I don't know if that's his flow, but yeah. Of that I just can't deal with.
Yeah, know? And the point is that's not our thing.
No.
But like the Little Brother album, May the Lord Watch, that is our type of thing.
Right.
I just have to give this shout out. So, there's a group called Langston Hughes III, and full disclosure, one of the members is one of our homeboys
Yes. That
we've known since we were kids. But they have music that is really catered towards, I believe, our generation. They have they call what they do adult contemporary head nod music,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's such a good description of what it is.
Right,
folks. If you haven't heard them, Langston Hughes III has a new single out called Contemporary iTunes right now. They got Red Alert. Y'all all know DJ Red Alert. Got Red Alert on the intro. The song is really really dope. But it is music you can tell, you can feel when you hear the songs that they've done, that it's geared towards us.
Right.
You know, there are references in the lyrics that you're not going to get if you're not of a certain age.
Right.
You know, when Max says the line that we were talking about before, you know, he say something like fresh in an O'Shea without steady mobbing,
right,
something like that. Like you don't know, you know, you may not know that O'Shea, he's referring to Ice Cube, and Steady Mobbing's an Ice Cube song.
Right.
Because that's one of, but our generation, you're going to know that. You're going to instantly recognize that reference.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the cool things about wanting to hear artists who have some lyrical talent.
Right.
Taking their time and really searching for good punchlines and good words to spit on a mic, and you hear these great lines. Sky Zoo has one that I got a kick out of. He said something to the effects of still messing with Becky's like John Stamos. We know what that is. You know, it's like when I hear that, I laughed. Like, you know, I laughed out loud because that was a great little punchline. It goes back to old school. You know, what was the show with the two twin girls and John Stamos?
Full House.
Full House. There it is. Yeah. So it's a line from that. He pulls out another line. Lost weight like Marsha Ambrosius. Those are great punchlines and words when put together with other stuff. You know, it just makes you like, ah, I really. You know, I appreciate hearing that kind of stuff.
Right, so. Right. And that is one of the things that we're talking about. You know, we mentioned Sky Zoo and his new project with Pete Rock. Can I just mention Langston Hughes III? They are making music that is made specifically. And I don't say specifically, like anybody can enjoy it.
Yeah, I was.
But it certainly has a certain slant towards our demographic and our generation.
Yeah, I see it as music whereas you can put it on at a party, young and old. It doesn't matter who comes in there. And
right.
Everybody can nod their head to it. And it's not loud. It's not brash. It's not a bunch of mumbling words. It's not a bunch of repetitive noise with terrible beats. It's great beats, tight lyrics, and it's just good, like you said, head nod. You know?
And I think, you know, in all honesty, great is in the eye of the beholder, right?
True.
Like
yeah.
Beauty. So I don't want to totally diss what others may be listening to or whatever. Because
right.
I mean, I would agree with you that I tend to think a lot of the other stuff is trash. But the greater point here is that when we're listening to these, the some of the groups that we've been discussing, they're making stuff that is appealing to our ear.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the music is appealing to our ear, the lyrics are appealing to our ear, it relates to us in ways that we can understand and relate
right.
to.
Right.
And that's the really important thing. Yeah. And I just, you know, our generation is not one that has that. I don't think that marketing people and advertising people have really figured out. It's because we're kind of a hybrid in some ways. Yes, we are very astute and internet savvy, and we know how to use social media, that sort of thing. However, some things about us and some of our tendencies are very pre-internet, right?
Right.
So it's like it's a hybrid group, and I don't think that they've understood, even though many of those people who are making those decisions are people who are in our age group.
Right.
They don't really understand what it is that we like from a music standpoint.
And yet. I'll use this as a point, too. ESPN and a lot of these your football broadcasts, you notice now they're using hip hop,
everywhere.
In the background.
It's everywhere.
Of showing their highlights or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I notice a lot of times it's a lot of what the younger cats are listening to today. But I find that funny because, like, most of the people watching ESPN to me are like in your 30-year-old people. I don't see a lot of like young 18-year-old people really. Like, my son, he's 23, he doesn't watch Sports Center like that, you know.
Right.
He gets his highlights from like Instagram, House of Highlights, I think, and he shows stuff like that. But it is funny, I guess, the powers that be at ESPN have decided, let's use today's hip hop as, you know, for our introductions, for our music in the background, et cetera, et cetera. And like you say, it kind of leaves that 30-year-old, 40-year-old group behind. Even a funnier point, anybody that watches the show Highly Questionable with Dan Le Batard and Poppy, they have Poppy on there rapping. When the show first came on, they would rap a lot of stuff that was familiar to people our age. When I was actually in my late 30s, early 40s, he was rhyming Freeway. He was rhyming old Jay-Z. He was rhyming some Nas and stuff.
Yeah, now it's a lot of guys that you,
right,
I don't
you,
even
I
know.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
And it's like, why have they kind of pushed that? Well,
I guess with Poppy doing it, you know, Poppy is a dude in his 70s. I guess the absurdity of him even rapping at all is what they're trying to make
fun of. Oh, yeah, that's
of.
Always the thing. It
yeah.
made fun of it. But even now, it's like you've gone away from, like, He it was on my Facebook feed. He was rapping a Freeway joint, What We Do. And it's one of the funniest ones that I remember him doing because he was spitting every line, of course, with that heavy, thick Cuban accent, but he wasn't missing a word. And it's like, I knew this song. it was funny to me. Now he'll rap something.
Yeah, and it just sounds like he's just reading now,
right,
because you don't know the
something.
Song.
I don't know the song. I don't know who he's talking right. about. And it's like, okay.
And the thing with that, too, Eric, is that if he was to rap something now that you and I would be familiar with, it might feel too retro. So now it's got to be because, you know, like to my original point, there's not a lot of newer music that's being marketed heavily
right.
to our demographic, and which would in turn give it more exposure in general.
Yeah.
So when people hear, you know, so now if he's going to do something that people over 35 are going to really be able to relate to, then the younger audience is going to be like, it's some old. They're going to basically have the same effect that you have when you hear him rapping something new.
I see. Yeah.
It's just going to be talking to them.
Right.
You know, and it loses its, I guess it's not as humorous unless you recognize
right,
the lyrics.
Right, you recognize the
saying.
Lyrics, and that's yeah. true. That's true.
And that's, you know, but that's a, you know, we have to get to the point, I believe, where people understand that rap music is not just something for kids.
Yeah.
And that it is an art form. Because ultimately, too, you know, when you think something is just for kids, you usually dismiss it.
Yeah, honestly.
People are dismissive of it, and they don't accept it as art.
I honestly believe my sister is one of those people, like, still believing
right.
that rap music is, like, kid music. No offense, Deborah, but.
And she probably doesn't view it as art, then.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, I think, yeah. I would definitely kind of think she
would. Yeah, because we generally, like as that. A society, whenever we associate something with children, we don't necessarily consider it to have artistic value.
No,
You know? So Peppa Pig doesn't have any artistic value, you know what I'm saying? Dora the Explorer, because that's something for a little kid. So, you
right.
know, okay, that's cute and everything.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that, if it's something that we experience as children and it's still around, Sesame Street, now it has a different level of value to us.
Yeah.
So rap music, I believe, has to fit into that channel in some way.
Good point.
We have
yeah.
to be able to say, hey, yes, you know, young cats is flowing out here to do anything right now. What they're doing is art, but there's also art that's being made for people who are a little bit older.
Yes.
For that 35 to 55 demographic. And this is music we're making for you.
Right.
And, you know, so where is the Tom Joyner for our generation who's going to have a national movement that says, yeah, we're going to play the old school, but we're also going to present you. Sorry about that. A little noise there. Our engineer is over
down.
There.
It's all right.
But we're also going to present you with new music, and this is catered to you.
Right.
And then I think that, because like I said, there are groups, I think, that are making this type of music, but sometimes their target audience is not even aware of what it is they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a problem, I think. And some of it some of that new music is being made is being done by new artists or younger artists. Some of it is being there are still a lot of artists that we listened to 20 years ago that are actually still making music.
Right.
You know, like we mentioned Razzcast with Solo Nice 2, for example, you know, still out here making music. Ghostface had a new album that just dropped a few weeks ago called Ghostface Killers.
Yes. Yes, listening to that on the way up here. And,
yeah, you know, yeah, still so making new music.
Still making music. And that was what I was talking about earlier was the new artists now don't seem to make music that is sustainable for years and years down the line. Guys, like we're talking about, Ghostface, you know, he's almost 50 years old, you know, and Master Ace, any of the older guys that we listen to are older guys.
The Master Ace and Marco Polo project from a few years ago, I loved.
Right,
loved.
Yeah. Great, great music. Mm-hmm. Older guys, but these are guys that could continue to make music. I am not sure that people like Lil Yachty and whoever these other named cats are could be out here 20 years from now. Nor do I think they necessarily have the desire to be out here 20 years from now.
Yeah, like, and I think the way that music is absorbed now, I think that has a lot to do with it, too. I don't care how big of an artist you are. You can release an album this week, and next week people will have moved on to something else.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's with everybody.
Yeah.
Beyonce and Jay-Z put out an album, and it was hot on the internet for like 2 days. And by that time, the following week, people were already moving on, you know.
Moving on to something
so
else,
like,
yep.
they don't absorb. Music is almost disposable.
Very.
In a lot of ways now.
It really is. And my son is a prime example of that. He goes through so much music. And like I say, the names of these cats are so forgettable.
Right.
It just, like, it's just like you say, it's him just, throw it away, throw it away.
It is. And you know, that's kind of what makes the whole phenomenon with Lil Nas X so amazing, with that Old Town Road. Like, for a song to have that type of lasting power in this day and age where everything gets thrown away after a week.
Yeah.
That was really stunning and astounding.
You ain't kidding, because I couldn't figure it out either.
But that song was number one forever. And it's weird because you don't normally think of that kind of thing happening in this day and age.
No, it was perfect timing too. I think he at the time when the Red Dead Redemption 2 video game came out.
Yeah.
And I noticed they were playing his song and using footage from the actual game. So I thought it was associated with the game in some way.
It's not in the game.
It's not in the game. Yeah, because
I've played it to death.
Yeah. I started playing it again, actually, and I got bored with it again. But, yeah, it's not in the game anywhere. But they kind of put that association together. They let it ride out for a while. People liked it. And then they went a step further. They said, hey, let's go get some actual country music stars because people are starting to now
give
him the business with, you know, this isn't country music.
Yeah,
but let's go get some country dudes and put on
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus,
that helped a lot.
Right, that helped a lot. So it kept his popularity going. So smart move by them. You know, it's not something I would listen to, but I give them, you know.
Yeah, but it was just one of those things that was, it showed that you can have some sustainability.
Staying power.
Yeah, key. It's very rare in this day and age.
Yeah.
However, I think if you were to have something that was that sort of a hit that was catered towards our age group, I think it would have a little more lasting power.
Right. Nothing necessarily.
And not to say that people our age didn't like that Old Town Road, because I saw a lot of dudes with gray in their beard out here rocking Old Town Road.
Right. Yeah.
But I just think that if you had something that was directly marketed towards our age group, you know, and it's not just our age group. It is the hip-hop crowd of 35 to 55 that we're talking about specifically. Because they've always been marketing R&B.
Yes.
To the over 35 crowd. They've always had, you know, other types of music genres that was for the over 35 crowd. Mm-hmm. But with this being the first generation of hip-hop fans that's over 35, they have not figured out how to do that yet.
That's true.
I do not believe. But I believe that whoever does it first, or not even first, but whoever does it best, they don't realize that they'd be sitting on top of a gold mine.
Yep. I wanted to touch on one thing when we were talking about, I guess you could call him one of today's artists. And he's a sore subject with a lot of people out here. But Drake, our friend and homie Drake, who I find him fascinating because he has the capability to rhyme like, in the matter of what we are discussing.
He started out that way.
Right, exactly. Started out that way. And then, of course, he does some sing-songy type stuff and some of the mumbly type stuff. And still, he is still, like, sort of frowned upon overall in hip-hop by a lot of people. Like,
I think that anytime you're super commercial, like he has become, whether it's and some of it has been organic, but some of it has been by design. Because hip-hop is always one of those things which claims, whether rightfully so or not, that it's all about authenticity.
Right.
Even though we know there's a lot of people out here lying their ass off. You know, like when you got dudes who worked as corrections officers, but then they want to tell you that they were the biggest drug dealer in Miami.
Yeah.
So we know it's not always the case that people are telling the truth.
Right.
But there's something about Drake I think that people maybe associate with, you know, purposely watering things down and trying to be and going commercial.
But he's worked with great artists, with great producers. He's worked with Ninth, you know. He has had some good stuff out there.
He always has been a huge fan of Lil Brother.
Right,
always has been. Yeah.
So he's sort of frowned upon. He is, I guess, you can consider him one of the new artists.
Yeah,
today.
I mean, look. I have tried, and I will because I don't want to be a complete hater all the time. I have tried to listen to Drake. I'm just not a fan. I don't say he's garbage because I don't think he's garbage. I just do not like his music.
Yep.
So, you know, that's just one of those things. But he's one of the people, Eric, I'm glad you mentioned, because I think that once his popularity has waned so much,
right,
that he will be a guy who can transition into being still being a star, but just being a star in a niche market.
Yeah.
He could be a guy who is a star for that 35 to 55.
And actually, yeah, you're right. He could actually do that and do it well.
Yeah.
Yeah. If once he has, and I don't know whether to say he's actually cooled off now or not, like, you know, but yeah, if he ever decided to.
Because one of the things you notice about artists that when they reach that pinnacle and when their popularity starts to wane, and they'll still be making music, but they're not necessarily concerned so much about commercial viability anymore, and they start to focus more on their art.
Yeah.
And I think if and when that happens with Drake, I think that you will see a lot of people start to come back towards him. Not that he's lost a lot of people, because, I mean, for whatever group of people like myself who don't mess with his stuff, he's got 20 million more who do.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that when he reaches that point, when that starts to happen, I think that he'll have a lot of people that will really start to gravitate towards him in that older demographic, because he'll be making music that's probably more like what they like.
Yep.
So, well, folks, we have talked ourselves out of another segment.
And
we got all kinds of people holding up timers and everything. Daniel's over here with a spiked baseball bat pointing it at us and everything else. So we're going to wrap it up for this segment and for this week.
But keep the conversation going, people, and check us out on all of your social media platforms. Danny, give them all the social media platforms, please.
Yes, we are on Twitter at cindysbdp.com, and that BDP stands for birthday party, not Boogie Down Productions.
No.
So on Twitter at cindysbdp.com, on Instagram at cindysbirthdayparty, all one word, on Facebook at cindysbirthdayparty, all one word. Our website is cindysbirthdayparty.com, or you can go to cindysparty.com, either one. And also, you can listen to this podcast on iTunes. You can listen to it on Deezer, on iHeartRadio, on Spotify, pretty much any place you can listen to podcasts.
All of them.
All of them.
A-L-L-O-F-U-M, all of them.
Right, exactly. So the important thing is, folks, we love to have interactions with you. So anytime you have any comments about what we're doing, positive or negative, let us know. We really want to hear back from you.
Please,
because
do.
That's how this thing is still in its infancy stages, and the only way it's going to get better is we need to have feedback from you.
Yes, feedback and interaction from you good people out there.
Yes, yes, and we can tell you how you're wrong and we're right. No, but seriously, folks, we love to hear anything from you. So go like and subscribe, spread the word, tell your friends. Tell other people that you know that would be interested in this, because chances are if you're listening to it, your friends are going to listen to it too. And we will catch you next time. Thank you so much. Peace.
Holla.
I be on the phone and shit. I be like, yeah. I haven't hit the scene in a minute. My new